Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is the Sunday of the Holy Trinity. It's also the beginning of the church year season of Pentecost. Today, in our readings, we're going to focus on the triune God working together in order to create, and then a little bit later, the triune God working together in order to save us. Sometimes we might not see it that way, we might not think about it that way, but all of that is in God's holy word. In this first part, we come to creation and think about it like this. So how do we get the Trinity into creation? It is God the Father who designed everything. It is God the Son who actually made everything that we can see today and even the things we can't see. And then it is God the Holy Spirit who was there too, kind of like the building inspector as we see here early on in the reading, or as we will in just a moment. Let me make one point here before I get into this. So when we come to the word God, we're going to come to that word over and over again, and that's the Hebrew word Elohim. So that's actually a plural word. If you gave it a proper translation, it would be gods rather than God. But I think, though, maybe it's in there because that's pointing us to the Holy Trinity over and over again. The Father is the one who designed creation. The Son is the one who actually did it, who actually did the work of creation. Now, that might sound kind of odd, but the Bible talks about that in John chapter 1, also over in Colossians chapter 1. Let me share with you what it says there in Colossians. So this is talking about the Son of God. Now, we're talking here about the Son of God before he put on human flesh and took the name of Jesus. So regarding the Son of God, the Bible says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him." Again, that's in reference to the Son of God. So think about the Father designing it, the Son creating it, and the Holy Spirit being there certainly too as a part of creation. With that said, let me get into the text here in Genesis chapter 1. On day number 1, that was a Sunday when God began to create, and on that day he's creating time. There was no time prior to that, it was eternity, so he's creating time, he makes the heavens and the earth, and he also makes the light. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." Couple comments here real quick. So when God created, it says that the earth was formless and void. What does that mean? Formless and empty is really what it means, kind of like an empty aquarium. So that's what God was beginning with. Keep in mind too that with all that God created, God didn't take one thing and make something else out of it. With everything, he spoke it into existence. God is an awesome, awesome, awesome God, simply speaking all these different things into existence. Also, too, with each day, it talks about how there was evening and then there was morning. Now, from our perspective, we think about the day beginning in the morning and ending in the evening, but from the Hebrew perspective, their day begins in the evening. So that's why over and over it says, "And there was evening and there was morning." When you think about what God made after day one, if you think about planet Earth then was surrounded by all this water, and maybe we could even say that the water surrounding planet Earth was maybe, let's say, 200 miles deep. So we had all this water surrounding the Earth after day one. And then going on to day number two. So we come now to Monday, and this is when God creates the sky. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day." So there was all this water. God removed a lot of the water in order to make the sky. When we think about the sky, when we look at the daytime sky, we call that the first heaven. When we think about the nighttime sky, then we can see out beyond, so we call that the second heaven. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the third heaven, and the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. So, like the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not just heaven, but the heavens and the earth. There are at least three of them. And then going on to day number three, we're on Tuesday. That's the day that God made the dry land, he made the seas, and basically he planted a garden. The Bible says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, which is in their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The Lord brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day." So you can see that God made the empty container, and he has put certain things in place. So now we have the sky, we have the sea, we have the dry land, we have the vegetation. So basically now, on days 4, 5, and 6, God is going to put things into the sky and into the sea and on the dry land. But before we get to that, though, we come to day number 4, and he's going to create the light bulbs, in a sense. Day number 4 is Wednesday. That's when God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now think about that for a moment. On day number 1, God said, let there be light. What was making the light? We don't know what was making the light, but we know that on day number 4, he made the things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, that give us light today. God is awesome enough that he can make light without having a light bulb. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day." So let me go back on just a couple things here. It talked about signs, seasons, days, years. What isn't mentioned there? What isn't mentioned would be the week. So from the sun, that's where we get our year. From the moon, that's where we get our month. But where do we get our week? We get our week because God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That's where the whole world gets the week from. Think about how things are, though, today. So many in the world, they deny that God even exists, or they say that this book is meaningless, and yet everyone in the world is living within the container of the week that God made because he created in 6 and rested on 7. God's fingerprints are all over all that he has made. May God help us to see that more and more. And then I want to talk about just a couple awesome things here. It's hard to just let them go. But as I think about Shelley the turtle, she has to have certain wattage light bulbs so that the distance from the bulb to the turtle gives her the proper heat that she needs. What did God do when he created our solar system? He created planet Earth, and then 93 million miles away, he created the sun. And let's understand that the sun is so much larger than planet Earth. Planet Earth is like a speck in comparison to the size of the sun. 93 million miles away, though. Just like for Shelley, if the bulbs were too close, she would burn up. If they were too far away, she would freeze. Same thing that God did for us. The sun is in just the right place to give us just the right temperatures throughout the year. And then think about the moon that is connected with our planet Earth. So we have a moon that is exactly 400 times closer to the Earth than the sun, and the moon is exactly 400 times smaller than the sun. Do you know what that means? That means that we are able to have a solar eclipse. It's only possible because of the distances and because of the sizes. So what that means is that on rare occasion, you have the sun, you have the Earth, and you have the moon in between, and when they line up perfectly, we have a solar eclipse. What that has enabled scientists to do is they've been able to study then the edge of the sun. They could never ever do that apart from a solar eclipse, but God has laid all this out perfectly. I want you to see now how things line up. So on day number 1, God created the light. On day number 4, God makes the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then you're going to see on day number 5, he takes and makes fish and birds and puts them in the sky and the sea that really he made on day number 2. And then on day number 6, he's going to make the animals and the people, and that ties in with day number 3 when he made the dry land and the food for the animals and the people to eat. It all fits together in a perfect way. Let's go on to day number 5. So this is when God made the fish and the birds, and it's a Thursday. The Bible says, "And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the 5th day. In this section, I noted that there are kinds, and you'll see that come up with the animals as well. So God has made these different kinds. Well, you also might have noticed it when it comes to the different trees and plants that God made. He made all these different kinds. Now understand, with any particular kind, there can be some variety. So you can have a dog, for example. You can have a short-haired dog, a medium-haired dog, and a long-haired dog. So you can have that kind of variety within a dog. But you're not going to go from a dog to an elephant. It doesn't work that way. God wants us to understand he made all these different kinds. Let me just jump back on one thing for a moment. I forgot to mention it. It's just such an awesome thing, though, going back to day 4 for a moment. So if you look there in verse 16, It talked about God making the sun and the moon, and then in three words, it says, and the stars. Why is that so awesome? If you think about the galaxy in which planet Earth is located, we call that the Milky Way galaxy, and they say our galaxy is an average-sized galaxy. So how many stars are in our galaxy? Well, I'll let you do the math, but they say, though, that if you counted one star every second, it would take you about 3,000 years to count the stars just in our galaxy. And then understand that people who study the universe, they say that there are about 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion of them. So multiply the number that I mentioned earlier by 100 billion, and it gives you just a little bit of an idea how awesome God is, that with three words, he created all of that. I mean, God just wants us to be overwhelmed at what an awesome, awesome God he is. Let's go on to day number six. So this is the big day in a sense. It's all building up to day number six. So this is a Friday. God made the animals and he made the people. The Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us. We believe that's a reference to the Trinity. So you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're talking together. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said to the people, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Let me just pause here for a moment before I finish up. Think about it. God gave for all of the animals to eat, he gave them the plants. And for all the people, he also gave them the plants and the fruit trees and all of that. What does that mean? That means that early on, everybody was basically a vegetarian. That's how God made the world. How long did that continue? Or maybe I should say, is it okay for us today to eat animals? It wasn't back then. Is it okay today? Well, actually, from the time God created all the way until Noah and his family got off the ark. How much time are we talking about? We're talking about 1,656 years from the time God created until the time of the flood. So that's a long time the people were commanded to be vegetarians. And after that then, God talks to Noah, and then he opens up everything, and he says, now you can eat everything. Now everything on the face of the earth is food for you and for the animals. Now, did other people do other things in between? They probably did, because they're all fallen creatures, just like you and me. But it's interesting, though, for that period of time. Is it okay to be a vegetarian today? Sure, it's fine. Can it be a very healthy thing? Take a look at Daniel chapter 1, and you'll see a very interesting story about vegetarians in Daniel chapter 1. But if you like a good hamburger, that's okay too. So picking up here with verse 31, then it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." And then coming finally to day number seven was a Saturday, and that's the day God rested. So the Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." These are the generations, in other words, the stories of development of the heavens and the earth when they were created. How do we know these things? Was somebody there taking notes and witnessing God creating the world? Well, no person was. The holy angels were there witnessing the creation, but not people. So how do we know about it? Well, there came a time where God, the Holy Spirit, moved Moses to write down the first five books of the Bible. And of course, right at the beginning, that's the account of creation. So that information is coming from God the Father through the Holy Spirit to Moses, to the pages of Holy Scripture. That's what we have here today. God wants us to know it is true. It is a reliable account. Now, let me share something that might seem kind of fantastic, but we should understand how the timing works out, though. So God creates here, and like I already said, about 1,600 years later, that is when the flood comes, and then we have to go another approximately 1,000 years beyond the flood, so we're talking about 2,600 years from the time God created until we come to the time of Moses when he wrote down the beginning of the Bible. In other words, for all that time, for 2,600 years, they did not have the Holy Scriptures like we have today, but they knew a lot of what God had said, and they repeated it over and over again, and they shared it with other people. So people were very familiar with many things from God. But we are so blessed, though, to have it all written down for us right here. It seems in our world today, oftentimes people have access to a Bible, but they don't even want to take the time to read it. I think about this one story from World War II when these Christians were arrested and put into a camp, and somehow somebody got access to one page of the Bible. So what they did is they kept that very secretly hidden, and then they passed it around among the people, and everyone who got that page, they were memorizing every word on that page because it was so precious to them to have a single page of God's holy word. And yet here we are, we have the whole book, and do we really even take much time to delve into there and to read it and to think about it? May God inspire us to do that day by day, and know that he will open our hearts and minds to understand it. He will richly bless us, and let's know especially the message of the Bible is that though God created a perfect world, the people fell into sin. That passed on to us as well. We were all in grave trouble. So God loved us so much. He promised to send his son when the time was right. He came. He did his work. And now through Jesus, the way to heaven is open for everyone. God is calling us to repent. God is calling us to receive his son as Savior and to know that our sins are forgiven. The sad part will be for all who ultimately reject Jesus, they will miss out on an amazing, amazing eternity. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are so awesome. You are so loving toward all of your creation. We thank you for making us, for saving us, and so much more. We pray that you would keep us close to you. And we pray that you would bring many, many others, even the entire world, bring them unto yourself, save them from their sins, and make them your very own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.